in public comment, my colleague from Elmer's Cool Cities Coalition spoke about the benefits of green schools. Just to summarize, green schools reduce energy and water usage and costs, improve indoor air quality, increase natural light, decrease carbon emissions, and improve the living environment. Stormwater mitigation is part of that list, and we were thrilled to learn that this is part of the facilities improvement plan. We learned that no specific stormwater mitigation plans have been proposed to date, but as those plans are developed, we'd like to be included in those conversations. There may be ways to reduce the overall cost on stormwater mitigation. As you are well aware, the City of Elmhurst has spent $25 million to locate flooding for residential areas, and in some cases, partnered with District 205 to utilize property to do so. We suggest investigating whether it is possible to tie into the city's stormwater infrastructure and mitigation programs to alleviate flooding at individual schools. Additionally, there may be grant opportunities to help pay for this portion of the plan. There could be money at the federal, state, and local level to assist with school flooding. We know that DuPage County grants were recently awarded to Woodward School District 68, helping to fund the installation of a permeable paper parking lot, as well as reading in a rain garden. Our Cool Cities members have implemented successful stormwater mitigation efforts, and we encourage you to reach out to them to learn more. For example, Elmhurst College installed a network of cisterns to collect and store stormwater. That collected water is then reused for landscaping and maintenance to water plants, to water flowers, plants, grass, and trees. The college also has a permeable parking lot to absorb rainwater and filter runoff. The Elmhurst Park District has a green roof on their headquarters building. It has built numerous rain gardens throughout their parks that use deep-rooted native plants to absorb stormwater. And through a DuPage County grant, the City of Elmhurst installed a rain garden at the Elmhurst Police Station. When looking at stormwater through a sustainability lens, you'll find that a small investment up front can go a long way in saving money. Over the long run, keeping water work balls for later reuse, creating natural filters for runoff, increasing productivity for maintenance staff, providing educational opportunities for students in the areas of climate and energy science, unifying the built environment, and enhancing the district's image as an environmental steward. On behalf of Cool Cities, we believe it is worth taking the time to investigate some water management solutions and alternative funding for these projects, which may help reduce the final dollar figure tied to any future referendum. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration and have a nice day. And we've got some more in the time we'd like to meet with you. It's the discussion plus the background material regarding the work that the college did and some of the other efforts locally. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Karen Sadowski. Karen Stasowski, 47 South York Street. I wanted to just quickly say that I appreciate the attention that the district's been giving towards school safety. As a parent, it's something that, of course, is on everybody's mind. The one thing that I wanted to share, though, is that the thought of, and I have no idea if anybody's discussing this or not, but the thought of any kind of weapons in the school is very disturbing to our family and very disturbing to our kids, and I just want to put that out there. But thanks, I do appreciate the attention, and I'm sure you're all working on the plan. So safe. Okay, thank you. And we don't respond right now. I'm not sure if I said that on Saturday, but we do follow up after the meeting. sets of minutes, January 23rd, January 27th, and February 13th. Are there any additions, corrections, or comments? Okay, the minutes will stand as presented. Superintendent's consent agenda. I need a motion for items A through I. I move that the Board of Education approve the superintendent's consent agenda items A through I. Okay, move by Karen, second by Kara. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't ask if I wanted to remove an item. Okay, so move by Karen, second by Kara, with the consent agenda items A through I. Mrs. Stephen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kaporia?
Yes.
Mr. McDonough?
Yes.
Dr. Hill?
Yes.
Mrs. Elkner? Six, five ayes, no nays, two absent. That motion passes. Superintendent's action items.
Okay, action item A, there are two donations. One from the middle school and one from Boston. And we recommend that action for Brian would be that we accept the donations in the amount of $1,375 for four banners that would line the Brian School parking lot when people enter the premises, a process similar to the types of things you see when you drive into the York parking lot. And the second donation is Emerson, and that is in the amount of $3,800 for signage and $6,000 for labor and materials for a teaching garden. The signage would be a partnership with the Emerson Student Council, and that sign would be out in front of the school. And then the teaching garden is explained in your packet, and that would be an opportunity to tie to the curriculum some various different things about food choices. And so that price is $6,000, so $3,800 for the signage, $6,000 for the teaching garden. So the recommendation is that we would accept these donations, $1,375 for four banners at Bryan Middle School, $3,800 for the wooden signage at Emerson, and $6,000 for labor and materials for the teaching garden at Emerson.
That the Board of Education approve acceptance of the donation to Brian Middle School in the amount of $1,375 for four banners, and to Emerson Elementary School in the amount of $3,800 for wooden signage and $6,000 for labor and materials for a teaching garden. A second. Thank you. I'd like to thank the PTA from Brian, and also the parents from Emerson, and then also Clark Construction. I believe that's an in-kind donation for the labor and materials for the garden. So I just want to say thank you. These are the sign of most of our schools have that type of signage, so this is good to be consistent for the sign in front of the school. And the teaching garden is something that we have at several schools, and it's great for kids. So thank you. So we have a roll call vote.
Mrs. Elkner?
Yes.
Dr. Hill?
Yes.
Mrs. Kaporia?
Yes.
Mr. McDonough?
Yes.
Mrs. Stufa?
Yes.
exceptional program.
Patience. We can watch them both, and I think you touched on a lot of the things that I'm expose people. So that would be great electronic, actual meetings, social media, videos, news media, you name it. We also need to have a number of options for stakeholders to provide input that can be synthesized and shared back with the Board of Education and administrative team. And then we need time to evaluate that feedback so it can be incorporated into the master facility plan and the timeline. We're going to talk a little bit about a community advisory team that's going to be formed to help us ensure that the communication is effective before it's deployed. So that important step will help us hopefully avoid any missteps in the process. What information needs to be shared?
Into some direction to the board if we just not let
situation. And typically, we recommend that the school district also open up a building. I'm sure your library has computers because we want to make sure that everyone has access to that survey if they don't have a home computer or internet. We'll also do our best to make it accessible on a mobile device. So there's a number of steps we can take so that that's very inclusive. So those are the qualitative tools that are best suited to sharing and gathering information. At some point, you may want to take the pulse of the full community. Again, that's usually a little bit later in the process. It's a great opportunity if you decide to move toward a referendum to test ballot language, to test messaging, to test tax sensitivity if you're choosing between two funding strategies. So that would be pretty far down the road. And yes, it's part of the community engagement, but probably not this very first phase. And I would be negligent if I didn't talk about the options that are primarily informative. Just like the students that you're working to support, adults have different learning styles and absorb information in very different ways. And our strategy will reflect that. You'll be seeing a lot of bullet points, infographics, and links throughout the materials that we develop. And you'll also see very similar information presented in different formats. Our biggest goal is going to be a consistent message in print, online, and in person. So you'll see a short version of the narrative backed up with a lot of details for the people who are interested in diving deeper into these topics. So options that are primarily informative are print materials, annual reports in the works, postcards, the district website, and electronic newsletters. And if you have the opportunity to review the communications plan that was in your board packet, you know that there's a dedicated webpage for this project in development. And once we know next steps, we'll be ready to go live with that. We want to make it just sort of one-stop shopping for people. It will link back to Focus 205. And any future materials that will be developed, you can have a link to the online survey when we go that route. So we just really want to make it easy for community members to access all of this information. And of course, we'll be using social media and videos. Which leads us to the question of, what do we want to learn? That's a big question. There's a lot of questions. So strategies 360. And I will work with the Board of Education, White, ICI, and Raymond James, the administrative team, to define expectations. If you remember, one of the first things we talked about was defining expectations and prioritize topics to explore. We can't ask all of these questions in every survey and every focus group because people will become fatigued and unfocused. So we'll work with you on that to make sure we hit it just right. Some sample areas of inquiry are what plan elements are most appealing and why. Are there plan elements that aren't well justified or desirable? Is there a preference for a plan option when costs are included? Is messaging clear? Are there areas where we could improve that? We'll want to gauge reaction to potential boundary adjustments and determine if timing impacts preferences. White has presented you with two options for one of the schools, and parents may have a very clear preference about keeping their children on that campus or speeding up the construction process, and you'll probably want to take that into account. We also touched on the role of a community advisory team. So the community advisory team, which I'm just going to call CAP from here on out, will include representatives from all schools and neighborhoods, parents, non-parents, and community leaders. And what they're going to be asked to do is vet communication and research questions to ensure that this complex plan is clear to the stakeholders who haven't been involved in the planning process. I think we've all had the experience of telling a story and everybody sort of loses the thread. We want to avoid that. So this group can help us ensure that the messages and materials are clear and easy to understand. They're going to help us eliminate or explain any educational, financial, or architectural jargon that we missed. They're going to ensure that the sequence of the story is cohesive. They're going to help us anticipate community questions and concerns. in your presentation, you're going to get better feedback because people won't be asking the simplest questions. And then also review the communication and community engagement plan to ensure that no opportunity to reach stakeholders is overlooked. There could be a community group, a meeting, a sporting event going on in the Elmhurst area that we're not aware of, that they can bring to our attention so that we can have materials there, or maybe have them send out an email blast about a meeting. So that would be the role of this team. And I kind of want to be clear also, we talked about what community engagement is and isn't. I also want to explain that this group is going to offer feedback on the materials with them, trying to be respectful of your investment of our time. And one last question, specifically about the community advisory team. How will this community advisory team be selected? Will there be an open invitation? How will that process be derived? Great question. That's something that we have not finalized the process for. We'll work with the administrative team on that. I anticipate that they will recruit some people so we can make sure that we have broad coverage across the community. If you remember, we want to make sure we have representation from every school, from every end of town. Hopefully some people who can bring some skills to this project. So I think we would recruit some people, and then we would put out some kind of an all call, and depending on the response, consider a lottery, or I can't say exactly how the people would be selected. One option would be, if the response is very big, we could divide them into groups. They can focus on different portions of the project. If you don't want to turn any people away, I think the thing we want to be cautious of, depending on the timeline, is that managing that many people can take on a life of its own, and we really want to keep our eye on the community engagement process for the larger community. So, again, I think that we'll have to sort of see how that plays out. For the sake of transparency, can we just cover that process? Can we make sure that that's on the website too, on what we decide and how we decide that? information. What is the cost of doing nothing? What if we do nothing? What if we delay? So those would all be questions I would anticipate would be answered in a presentation. We could certainly update this presentation before we put it online to include that question, because it's almost always part of that presentation and FAQ and any informational mailers. So that's what else. So our presentation, we got it at the last board meeting, but we talked about it Saturday. Is there a way to put out there that it's a draft, like almost like a watermark or something somewhere? Because I think if you look at a presentation online, I think for some people they may think, oh, it's a done deal. Like, it, you know, but we know that it's this work in progress, and the board just talked about all those components. So I don't know. That's for you. You know, when it goes on, like, so people really understand it's a draft. Like, everything is a draft and hasn't been finalized. I think it's a great plan, even if we title things draft or first iteration. I think that everything could probably be watermarked, but if I'm not a document, it can't be.
Thank you for sharing your craft with us, and it really is. It sounds like the community advisory team are really communicators more than anything, and we have a significant number of communications professionals in our community, and I'm hoping they'll step up and kind of be your teammates in getting the word out there. It's really less about the leadership on the issue as much as it is bringing up professionalism in the communications field. All that being said, I want to make sure that you communicate with the leadership we do have at each of our school communities and the PTA leadership there. They know who the people are that can help them get the information out. It's really more of a communications effort than a substantive discussion. These events will do it. It looks like a very good plan. I'm especially interested in this postcard with a unique link. Will that be sent to every household? I mean, where are you getting your mailing list for this? Postcards to send unique links.
In general, we send carrier route because that's the most cost efficient to do. So it's not going to have a specific name. It's just that you're going to print cards with various QR codes or something. I'm not sure. I don't know the details of that, but I do know we deliver via carrier route. And so it would be, you know, you, Jonathan.
Put a unique code on each card.
That's Josh's idea.
That's great. Thank you.
And thank you, because I just want to say I was remiss in not mentioning the PTA Foundation in these plans. We've always counted on their efforts, much the way the entire school district and the board count on our efforts. I heard that referenced in the consent agenda, so I guess I sort of almost made too big of an assumption and didn't mention them specifically. I just want to clarify to a question that Kara had about the community advisory team and how you get to the broad Elmhurst base. And you referenced it with the community advisory team, which is very valuable. So we have a great broad section of the community on the advisory team, but also to ensure that we get to those groups with the information and to get feedback from. I think that you were addressing that in the presentation. I just wanted to make sure that it's true. That's the approach and that's the objective. So, yes, first the community advisory team will just help us get that story and make sure it's clear so that if you're hearing it for the first time, it makes sense. You're going to have questions, but it's going to follow a logistic approach too. But we would also ask that group. So I'm going to assume we're going to have some preschool parents. Maybe some people who go to private school. And so we're going to ask them, where can we take this? What places that we're not aware significant amount of money to put into your facilities, because that's, you know, typically the way that you get those funds. And so it's been, what, 12 years, and for the facilities, you know, we've tried to maintain them, but it was because they're 187 years old and et cetera, you know, they need significant work. So, I mean, I think that it's the information that we have to share with the community, whether we want to be in this situation or not, this is where we are, and to give them a comprehensive look is important. So because of that, though, what I've said, it's been a while, because there's every facility needs something, and because we want to move our education system forward, as we've heard from community and staff, we've got a twofold prong here. And so, you know, it's almost as though, like, the, I'm thinking the focus to a flag, we have several different meetings. How else do you get all of the information to the people so that they can really give us that solid feedback back? You see what I'm saying? That they're on board with this, and you know, what they think of it is really what I'm asking. You know, how do you do that with just, you know, single meetings versus several meetings? I mean, it's taken us a long time to get to this point, but I know from previous efforts, whether it was answer. Yeah, you could, without giving me exactly how would you phrase questions to get to the complexity. You know,
right.
What I think is the question
that
I'm talking about
is that we need to know what we want to know before we can give you that.
Correct, but I guess that's what I was trying to kind of get us to around to in a Saturday's discussion, really did articulate the complexity of this. Representing the community, we're able to articulate, and that what we want to do is to be able to get the feedback from the community. Yes or no, are they in support of this? Is that, you know, is this really what they wanted when they keep asking us for things? That was my question. I'm curious if I hear your response, let me ask a different way, because it was hard for me to. There was a slide that talked about what we want to learn. So I kind of said, okay, if these are our learning goals, I'm not sure how our learning goals, the information that we want to share, and for community meetings come together and give us the iterative process, the iterative development that we are talking about. So that's a point that I am not connecting with right now. Hopefully you can help me walk through that. These are sample areas of inquiry. I didn't actually change this slide very much since it was sent out before Saturday's meeting. So we need to work with you to really clarify these questions. Lastly, I would then work with Maria and the administrative team to craft a story to tell, to share all of that information, plus the cost of doing nothing, in 45 to 60 minute presentation, and then we would develop questions that were more specific. So if we were looking at two plans, we would ask specific questions about what do you like about plan A, what do you like about plan B, which one do you prefer, and we would work through it that way. Adjustments. I would love to do examples, but without knowing who's going to be impacted or what the boundary adjustments are. So at the very beginning, you know, you can ask if people are opposed or in favor of boundary adjustments. My guess is initially they're all going to say we're not in favor of them. But then if they hear that no existing child or family is going to be impacted, and anybody who has to change schools is going to go to a new or substantially rebuilding, that may shape their opinion. So the one thing I would say about how are we going to get to all these questions, we can't ask all of these questions and explore all of these topics in every meeting. People will get fatigued. They won't finish a survey that's going to take them much more than 15 or 20 minutes. So it's something, it's a challenge that we'll have to work through once we understand what information we're presenting. Because right now, Leslie and I don't know what you have shared with the community. Talk to the community. I understand it's a generative process, and so it will continue to expound. But, you know, starting off, trying to understand, you know, the initial plan is presented. I'm not connecting the iterative process. I'm not connecting how we take the feedback from the first community engagement, we add the information, and come back to the second community engagement meeting and present that information without presenting a different piece. So that's where I'm trying to see how we show that we synthesize the information.
Right, I understand exactly what you're saying. So we're going to take this presentation. So let's just assume we developed a presentation, and it's going to be the whole enchilada, everything that White has presented to you. We're going to take that, we're going to go to focus. First, we're going to take
certainly be approved online, which is where most people are going to go and get their information or for future mailers. So I hope that. And so the same thing with architects and Raymond James and ICI are going to go through a similar process. We're going to collect feedback with their assistance, and then they're going to refine the plans based on the feedback. It's one of the reasons why I say it doesn't have to be final to take it out. You actually want to offer people the opportunity to comment and see some of their comments, not all. We talked about that at the beginning, incorporated into your plans. That was helpful.
Thank you.
Also, when we talk, maybe the focus groups, we did this with Focus to Apply, but it's nice to have an open-ended question of what did we miss, or is there a better idea? Just make sure that's available for everybody at the end, too.
Right. That absolutely will be. I'm sorry, I thought I said that because we always try and do that. The reason for the directed, consistent questions is so we can aggregate feedback. So if we have a dozen focus groups, we can say, this is in general what happens at a dozen focus groups, and we always ask an open-ended question. And the beauty of a focus group is that I could go around the room and be like, Chris, what do you think? Yay, what do you think? Even though they're looking at their computers and I put them on the spot. So we can really probe people in that kind of an intimate setting. And for the online surveys and the exit surveys, again, will be a set of questions that are grids, graphs, multiple choice, but always some open-ended questions at the end. And the greater results on those as well. You should know that there's always one or two questions. What do you think of the presentation? What could we have done better? We ask questions like, how did you find out about the meeting, which is going to help you with future community engagement. So,
just wanted to get your thoughts. I've had a little bit of experience with some capital development government agencies and how they present to the public, and one of the things they use, particularly when I hear you say there's times they have some sort of, may just be one community meeting. What's your thoughts about that open house format that sandwiches around community meeting?
That could definitely be great, especially with the assistance of boards from the architects. And I want to be clear, there'll be one community meeting plan, but we're recommending four community meetings. Yes, we can take things on the road. If there's an open house or something anywhere in the community, you can take it on the road. It's really helpful to have handouts and things like that. A representative who can answer questions. And that's where I see the community engagement team really helping us, the community advisory team, really helping us identify those opportunities.
Because if it's going to be reduced to a single critical community meeting date, people, okay, all right, then that's fine. But I'd still suggest using it anyway, even if it's multiples, because a lot of people say, oh, well, I can't get there at 7, but I would love to come in at 6, look at the boards, talk to someone who has a little bit of knowledge, and then, you know, people fit it into their schedule. And then there's, you know, what I've seen before is an active community meeting in the middle.
And I think once they develop the meetings, decide if they should include tours, people really do like to have the boards, and I have seen light and action at many meetings pose around our boards and answering community questions one-on-one, and it's very effective. One last thing when we're talking about the focus groups, and at one point in time, staff was mentioned. That was used in a kind of blue meeting. It was upbeat staff. I wanted to see how we would be able to gather the information from staff so that it could be part of the synthesis. I don't know if they
relationship to the district, parent, community member, staff, parent of current, you know, I won't go in, there's about 20 categories. So that way we'd be able to separate out the staff to see if there's any differences between how staff and the general community feel. And if there's questions that you just want to ask staff specifically, we can do a staff specific survey. That's the point of the iterative process, right? It's not after everything is decided, the staff will still be included in the iterative process. Absolutely, and I would recommend that they get more updates than the average person who has a staff newsletter, I believe an internet. So I would encourage extra communication to staff, because not only can they provide feedback that's going to help refine the plans, but as I said, they are your key communicators in the community. Parents often go to them with questions because they're a trusted resource, and so you want to make sure that they have the information to answer questions correctly. As for tonight, then, the ones that I'm going to tell you about that. Alright, and then this is probably just a logistical question. I can hear a couple teams. I don't know how to try to understand the difference. I've heard a planning team. Okay, so the planning team is you guys, the administrative team, White, ICI, Raymond James, the people who are building the plans. It's just kind of a term we've used informally and internally, so it's not surprising that you don't know. Refer to that as a core team. We haven't really named ourselves officially, but when we get t-shirts, we'll let you know. Alright, so we got the planning team identified. Now I'm trying to differentiate this team, community advisory team, from the Focus Tool 5 team. And I say that because I think it's, I want to understand what the difference is. And I think our community will need to try to understand what the difference is. Is this a continuation? And if the continuation is the same group, or how are we differentiating these two groups? And that is not a question we have specifically discussed, but I would personally view that as two entirely different teams. People who participated in Focus 205 would be welcome to apply to be part of the CAT team, but we don't want to overweight, just like the way we don't want to overweight one part of town or one school. We want people with a fresh set of eyes. And I know you guys have had a lot of questions about the CAT, but really I just want to remind you that their role is to just help us make sure that we explain this story clearly to the rest of the community. So I appreciate that they should be thoughtfully selected, representative, and all of that. But I would view them as this is a different process for a different team. Okay. And so then I guess the question, will all the information still be on Focus 205's website, or will we have a new website that differentiates this first process from the second process? Right, so we're in the process of developing a master facility plan page. There'll be a link directly from the district website. I'm thinking it's going to be, we actually have developed a new logo. I just was the URL. Okay, I was just going to say we're going to have a logo on the website that will indicate phase two. That will be a direct link. It's just going to be Focus205.org/master-facility-plan. So I think because there's so much on the Focus205 website right now, it's really heavy with information. I think it's very important to keep that for historical reasons. And we'll have a link on this new page to that. If anybody wants to go back and delve deeply, that's, you know, they can do the deep dive. But we think, you know, it's going to be easier to kind of follow phase two by really, that have some of those key components. Like, I think you guys have already asked if they have
presented at the two Saturday workshops, and what was presented at the February 13th meeting, and then tonight. So we have it all lined up and ready to go. So just to help keep thoughts organized.
And they both link to each other.
Yes.
Right. We wanted to get consensus and see if the board is prepared to share to workshops, put the plans together to share with the community, and start the second phase of community engagement. We'll start getting feedback. So, I'm assuming I shouldn't assume anything, but I'm getting the feeling that we have the consensus for them to move forward with this work. Point of clarification. So we talked about, and you mentioned it, Marcia, is that it's kind of a phased approach of going to the schools that are most impacted, because they'll have the most feedback, probably. And that's how we can refine and make sure that the information is clearly articulated and the questions are worded such that they can give us the response back on kind of the complexity, you know. If you want that, you know, do you want all these things? If you want all these things, you know, this is what it means to you specifically. And if not, what are you willing to give? You know what I mean? What is your higher priority, lower priorities, that sort of thing? So that's what we were talking about Saturday, of doing that initially. So is that what we're asking? I thought that we would charge Russia to put that material that we've reviewed into something that the community can look at. Like right now, it's what, a 2-hour presentation, packaging into something that's digestible in an hour, or 45 minutes to an hour. How is that different from what you were saying? It might be the same. We don't know. I'm not in your head. You know what I mean? I just, but it's more than just putting materials together. Because there's, you know what I mean? The point is that we're going to put it online, we're going to be taking it to people at these schools, et cetera. Yeah. So, I always recommend putting together the full presentation on the FAQs first, if time permits. We're going to be updating all of that, as particularly the FAQs, as we get community input. So why do I recommend that? Because remember, we talked about consistency in person, online, and in presentations. That becomes the base for everything else we do. So we pull out pieces for certain audiences. But if you have the comprehensive package all put together, you avoid the misstep of saying this at meeting A and this at meeting B, which reflects poorly on all of us. So that is not what I would recommend it, but then when I went to a Lincoln Field or Edison, I would go into more detail about what might happen at those buildings that were slated for the comprehensive improvements, because we won't have time in a 45-minute presentation to the general community. We're going to have to kind of buzz by that, because if it's the general community, what do they want to hear? They want to hear what's going to happen in their building. So that's a challenge of a plan that's this big with this many schools. We want to make sure everyone White has put together some great charts for that show that we're going to end up with educational equity across the district, even though the dollars in this particular plan won't be allocated exactly the same because the different schools have different needs. So those are the kind of points that we really want to think about and come back to you with. I mean, those are ones I know tonight that would be very important to the community, but I would want to now take all of this information, go back, reread it, and really think about it versus just giving you a quick short answer tonight. It's going to require some time and thought. And in addition to that, I think the other thing we're looking for is your permission to start moving forward with forming this community advisory team. This is going to take some time to get some meetings and to recruit people. That's
going to take time. So while we're working on materials, we need to be working on building that group so they're ready to go to review these materials once you've said, yes, we're good with this. I just want to say that you'll see the plan and the other thing that I would recommend that you authorize the administrative team to do is to start looking at dates, because we're talking about a fair number of meetings here and people and buildings that are busy and full. So I would also recommend that be part of what you might allow moving forward. We try and reserve. We're always watching out for your budget, so we always just try and reserve.
decided that we're going to increase, the number of, we have to do one by law at every school, we're going to increase that to at least two. We might do more in York. We're still talking about that. And we're going to do them, we're going to try to improve on how we do them in order to be more prepared for the unexpected. So that's really what we need 5 times here. So we're talking about our procedures and how we can improve at all of our meetings. Several of the safety and security committee members are going to an upcoming school safety workshop in April that our liability insurance pool is putting on with some national experts in school safety. It's coming up in April, but try to go to the school safety workshops every year, at least I do, if not other members of the committee do as well. Doors. We replaced the locks on the doors within the last 5 years. I want to say maybe 3 years ago on all the classroom doors. But if any of the classroom doors don't function properly in one of the drills or for whatever reason, they can report that and we can get those repaired or make sure that we are confident that those classroom locks work at all times.
Identification criteria has changed specifically as it relates to the MAP score. So is that not questions tonight.